St. Alphonsus de Liguori records that before going to his death, Jesus went to take leave of his mother. Among all his disciples, she was the only one who knew what was about to happen. And thus did Our Lady reveal to St. Bridget that as the appointed day of his passion and death approached, her eyes were always filled with tears. As she considered the extraordinary suffering that he would endure for the salvation of men. After the Last Supper in the upper room, our divine Savior and the apostles silently walked to the Garden of Olives. When they arrived at the gate, our Lord told 8 of the apostles to remain there. He entered the garden with only Peter, James, and John. But as they walked along, he said to his chosen 3, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." St. Alphonsus says of these words of Christ that the anguish and grief of soul he felt were enough to cause death there in the garden. But the saint continues, he himself prevented his own death in order that he might die the shameful and most painful death of the cross. Our Lord then asked the 3 apostles to be with him so that he would not be alone. "Watch and pray with me," he said to them. He then went forward a little distance from the 3, and there he fell upon the ground. He fell upon his face, and his agony began. And in what, we may ask, did his agony consist? It consisted, among other things, in his being crushed in soul and body by sin. You see, my dear friends, at the moment of the incarnation, when the Son of God joined to his divine person, a created human nature, and became man, he also became a priest and a victim. Priest to offer sacrifice to God and a victim to be sacrificed to God. As the victim, he took upon himself every sin that was ever committed or would be committed as if he were guilty. And thus, from the moment of his incarnation in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, every sin was already upon him. But for 33 years, by his divine power, he would not allow the weight of sin to crush him. Now, however, in the Garden of Olives, at the commencement of his passion, before he would allow wicked men to lay hold of him, before he would permit a single lash to tear the flesh off his body, before he would allow the cruel thorns to pierce his brow or the nails to transfix his hands and feet, he would first allow sin in all its cruelty and horror to have its way, so to speak, with him. And thus did he fall flat upon the ground, and as a certain spiritual writer says, from the assaults of his enemy, of an enemy whose breath was a pestilence and whose embrace was an agony. There Christ lay, motionless and still, while sin, the vile and horrible fiend, clung close around his sacred heart, filled his very conscience, and spread over him like a moral leprosy. What agony, my dear friends, was his. What indescribable grief of soul, which no one who has lived could ever experience. What guilt and anguish our divine Savior felt as he lay upon the ground, covered as it were by sin. When we sin and we acknowledge it, we grieve. We have remorse. We have sorrow. But our grief, our sorrow, our remorse is nothing compared to what he felt. For you have to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, is infinite holiness. He is infinite truth. He is infinite purity. He is infinite perfection. And yet that night he looked upon himself and saw himself as if he were a sinner. He looked upon himself and saw himself as if he were an enemy of God. And not just a sinner, but the worst of all sinners. And this because he had freely taken upon himself every single sin that was ever committed or would be committed, as if they were all his. St. Paul puts it this way. He says of our Lord, he became as if he were sin. Think about this, my dear friends. Think about what this means in the practical order. Every blasphemy, every act of idolatry, every act of devil worship, every hatred of God, every scandal, every unbelief and despair, every impurity, every abortion, every murder, every pride and envy, every theft and lie, every curse, every disobedience became as if they were his. And who but God, could put a number on these and all other sins? And thus did Christ, the God-man, allow himself to be crushed in his sacred humanity by sin, because he became as if he were the sinner. And this he did because he loves his eternal Father with an infinite love, and he loves us, each and every one of us, with an infinite love. But that we would understand that we would have some kind of understanding of how terrible this agony was. An agony which no words could ever adequately describe. The Gospels simply tell us that he sweat blood. During his agony, he sweat blood. During his agony, he prayed to the Eternal Father. He even sought the consolation of Peter, James, and John, but to no avail, as they had quickly fallen asleep. In fact, all his apostles, his disciples, and friends were sleeping that night. His enemies, however, were not sleeping. Oh no, they were very much awake, preparing his destruction and his death. And thus, while his enemies plotted, his apostles, disciples, and friends all slept, except for one, the Blessed Virgin Mother. She was not sleeping, but rather she had been watching and praying from the beginning of that evening. As I mentioned, she was the only one who knew what was about to happen. And thus she watched, she prayed, she wept, but all this she did from afar. Did you ever wonder why she did not go with him to Gethsemane? Did you ever wonder why she wasn't there? She was at the foot of the cross, but she was not in the Garden of Gethsemane. She would not have fallen asleep. She would have watched and prayed beside him. If she had been there, she would have held her child close to her heart and not let go, not for a moment. But she was not there. She was not in the garden. Our Lord shared his cross with her on Calvary. He shared his sorrow and bitterness with her. He even shared with her to a certain degree the total abandonment that he felt on the cross. But he did not share the agony in the garden with her. And this he did not do, my dear friends, because only a God-man could bear the weight of sin. This same spiritual writer says, "The Mother of God, for all her holiness, nay, by reason of it, could not have borne the weight of sin." Sin which encompassed Christ in the garden. For only God can bear the load of sin. Furthermore, Mary is the Immaculate One. She alone was conceived without sin. Nor was she ever guilty of even the slightest sin. She is without sin. And thus, only sinners, so to speak, were in the garden. And by that, my dear friends, I mean every single human being was present in the garden, as it were, by reason of their sins. Whether their sins were only original sin or venial sins or mortal sins, they were there. For our divine Savior knew every sin that was committed and that would be committed until the end of time. And in knowing these sins, He knew whose sins they were. In this sense, then, He saw us in the garden. All of us, in this sense, all men were there. All except Mary Immaculate. But what grief, what sorrow, and what suffering was His on that first Holy Thursday night. May we take His agony in the garden to heart. May we who are His friends henceforth be ever mindful of how much sin crushed Him, how much sin hurt Him, how sin is not just breaking a law or a commandment. It is truly and really breaking a heart. It is truly and really crushing Christ. Let us take these things to heart, my dear friends, even as we strive to love Him now with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Ever praying, especially in times of temptation, for the grace of strength and perseverance. Ever confident that He took all our sins upon Himself to save us, not to condemn us. Yes, my dear friends, we are all indeed sinners. But in confessing this, what confidence we ought to have. Since because we are sinners, He is a most loving and merciful Savior.